Mr. Chairman, just gonna acknowledge it's 1 o'clock, but we're still waiting on a quorum right now.
The recording has started.
Okay, still waiting on a quorum. All right, Mr. Chairman, we now have quorum, I believe, if you'd like to kick off the meeting.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started. All right, so welcome, everyone. I'm gonna go ahead and call the meeting to order. And Chuck, would you go ahead and do a roll call for us, please?
Yes, sir. Jagadeesan Krishnamurthy.
Simpson.
Doug Lane for Brian Kirkland.
Present.
Eddie Cook.
Here.
Lev Gonick. David Byers.
Here.
J.R. Sloan.
Here.
Rebecca Pereira for Richard Stavnik.
Here.
Ryan Murray.
Present.
Representative Nguyen. Okay, Mr. Chairman, that's all our currently filled positions. You have a quorum of five.
All right, thank you very much. So again, welcome everybody. I will remind folks that this is a public meeting. We do follow public meeting law. And if you do have a comment you wish to submit on the agenda, we have a link for you to be able to submit that comment and staff will disposition it. I'm also gonna take a moment here before we jump into business to speak to our committee members. We have, I think, had an informal process for identifying potential conflicts of interest, and I think you all have been very good about raising your hand in the course of any given discussion to identify that you may need to recuse yourself. We're going to actually seek to formalize that, and starting, it should be next month, we're going to be sharing out in advance a form that you can fill out to go ahead and identify, and we want to make sure that we're more formally recognizing and logging any potential conflicts of interest as part of our process. So that's just, I'll say, a process improvement that has been identified that we wanted to make sure that we include. So I'll ask any immediate questions on that. Otherwise, we can also take some more questions next month as we start to navigate that process.
JR?
Yeah.
Does if we have to recuse on a particular case, like say a court matter comes up, I recuse. Does that affect the quorum? Because I'm still present, but I can't discuss or vote it on it. So that, because I know we have sometimes quorum problems, and I don't know what the rules are on that. So would that change the quorum?
Chuck, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Chuck Brown, the ADOA. Mr. Byers, I do believe it does, but we're going to do a double check and make sure we have all of our bases covered with our legal advisors before the next meeting to make sure we're prepared for those issues.
As we hopeful. Thanks.
And in support of that as well, Dave, we're actively looking to fill a couple of the open positions we've got. So stay tuned for potentially new faces to join us. So, Rebecca.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since you're asking your legal advisors, could you also ask how that affects non-voting members?
We will do so.
Yep, Mr. Chair, noted. And Ms. Pereira, we'll definitely check into that for you.
Mr. Cook.
I have a different question. Are there any discussions about the new governor looking at our commission that she might be looking to refresh or have us reapply? Is there any talk about our commission? Because I know some of the other boards and commissions, she's kind of gone through that.
So no discussions have been brought to me on that point. Right now, Eddie, for lack of that, we will follow the normal terms and appointments as included in the rules and bylaws for the committee. So for those of you that reapplied recently, for those that have time limits, it's typically a 2-year run. For those that are appointed, longer term, such as Mr. Byers, he has no need to reapply. He is the appointee, so, or he can delegate as noted. But for those that do have term limits, we'll abide by the 2-year time frame and then seek to reapply or refresh.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay, if there are any other questions, I'll go ahead and step into our first item of business, which is approving the February 15th recording as the minutes of our last meeting.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve.
Thank you, Eddie. Do we have a second?
This is Nikki.
I'm going to give that one to Jeggy. Doug, stay tuned. You'll get one here. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that carries unanimously. Our next section of the agenda is our consent agenda. There are two items in there that we will take one motion on unless there's a desire from the committee to discuss these.
Mr. Chair, just clarification. It looks like both of these were focused on just extending the dates to a little longer. That's what I interpret both of these items were. Was that correct?
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead, Chuck.
Mr. Cook, yes, that is correct. These are 2-time extensions, which is why we qualified them for the consent agenda.
With that, I move to approve both of these items on the consent calendar.
Okay, thank you, Eddie. Do we have a second?
This is Ryan. I'll second.
Thank you, Ryan. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that carries unanimously. Thank you. All right, moving on to our first voting item, our first presentation that will be a voting item, which is Department of Revenue bringing forward a technology refresh project.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager of the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Arizona Department of Revenue, who will introduce themselves shortly, followed by a brief overview of their project. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the Arizona Department of Revenue is requesting approval to refresh their current storage system, SAN, that is approaching end of life. This refresh will provide ADOR with the necessary vendor maintenance and support for the next 5 years. At this time, I'll turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed project and answer any questions that you may have.
Mr. Rickoff, you're muted.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Looked like a very good introduction, though.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is Tom Rickoff, and I'm the Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Department of Revenue. I'd like to introduce, we have two individuals that will be doing the presentation this afternoon. That will be Bodie Graves, and he is the Senior Manager, Systems Network. And then we have George Simonson, he is our PMO. Then we have other individuals in attendance that can answer questions. We have Stacy Wallace, which is our Chief Information Officer. We have Merdad Farouzesh, and we're actually engaged with Gartner right now on a five-year roadmap study with them. So we invited him to, if you have any questions associated with that and how it fits in with this. And we have Bob Ryan, which is our Chief Procurement Officer. And then last but not least is Tom Crucio, and he's our current Chief Information Officer. Next slide, please. Bodie, you're on deck.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Bodie Graves. I'm the Senior Manager of Systems Network for Department of Revenue. I want to make clear what the scope of the PIDG is here. Is the SAN system, which is end of life in October, the end of October, and the compute blades are end of life in February. So the scope of this PIDG is both of those components. So that's the real pressing issue we have are those two pending end of life dates. Security and vulnerability patching would not be available for either system after that end of life date, which is a situation we do not want to get the Department of Revenue in. The benefits to the state agency and constituents or ADR's storage and compute system will be refreshed and under OEM vendor support for the next 5 years. OS update security vulnerability patches will be maintained for the next 5 years. And those systems which are within ADR's federal tax information, FTI boundary, will be able to pass audit by IRS and Auditor General. Next slide, please. So the overview of the proposed solution, the replacement storage system, which is one cabinet, and the compute systems, which are 44 components, will be able to integrate into the existing Dell VBlock 1000 converged infrastructure platform in order to eliminate the need for a complete system replacement with increased cost, risk, and timeline. Existing chassis, racks, power provisioning, backup systems, and networking can all be leveraged for proposed system refreshes. Dell Engineering was consulted and provided recommendations based on the legacy system usage and anticipated future growth. Some important notes that we want all the members to be aware of is this is in alignment with ADR's 23-24 strategic plan. We have been partnering with ADOA for at least the past year to perform due diligence, which has led us to the meeting today. Gartner Consulting has also provided a confirmation that this refresh is advisable at this time under these circumstances. The active ADOR STARS project will be a complete public cloud rehosted re-engineering of all ADOR critical tax systems. This is currently expected to be at least five-year project. So a point to note there is ADOR is headed for the cloud. When I wanted to understand that, but this is a measure in between, you know, to get us to that point. ADOR is currently partnering with Gartner Consulting in creating a cloud migration roadmap for the coming fiscal years. That roadmap planning will be presented to ADOR in April next month. And this plan will be presented to ITAC in FY23 Q4 as a condition of ITAC approval today. We're also working with ADOA to research a potential move within FY24 within the shared hosted data center, which our systems currently reside, to achieve economies of scale. Next slide, please. Okay, I'm going to turn things over to George Simonson, our project management officer.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. We'll be going over some project management slides here. As Bodie indicated, we're partnering with Dell Engineering on this, and This is a breakdown of how we're going to be managing the project. Dell Engineering is supplying the system architecture, hardware validation, system updates, and production support. And we will do work on procurement, application validation, and project implementation. And we will share those installed hardware configuration and data management. Next slide, please. Here we have a breakdown of our milestones as we move through this project and the various timelines associated with those, where we're looking to wrap this up by the end of the fiscal year. Next slide, please. Here we have a breakdown of the costs over the five-year period, where we've broken out the professional services, hardware, software, and license fees and such on here that will take us through this five-year engagement for this effort. Next slide, please. What success looks like. Project milestones are procurement hardware, of course, is a big one, installations, system updates, data migration, and system validations. The measures of success, the storage and compute systems will be refreshed and under OEM vendor support for the next 5 years, will allow us to maintain all of our necessary updates. ADOR will be able to respond to NIST and common vulnerability exposures to protect our data. And ADOR will be able to pass security audits for system support. Next slide, please. That kind of wraps up our presentation. And at this time, we would be happy to entertain any Q&A from the floor.
All right, thanks, George. I will go ahead and open it up to the committee. We'll start with Mr. Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a few questions. Just to clarify, it looks like the total cost of the project is for fiscal year 2023 is $4.6 million. Is that what we would be trying to, what are we trying to prove for this meeting, I guess?
Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Cook, you are correct. Your approval is on the $4.6 million of development costs. However, the total five-year costs is part of the life cycle analysis we put in front of you, so you have sure. An understanding of the investment the state's going to undertake.
I guess the follow-up question to this would be, if this has been kind of a project that's had some planning, help me understand, why would this not be part of the budget cycle from last session for this 4.6 to be already approved for the project, I guess?
We'll go ahead and let the agency field that.
Because like I said, where is the 4.6 coming again? Because if this was part of some long-term planning, this would have been already budgeted and approved through legislation and the governor's signing for the budget for last year. So
all right, yeah, thanks, Eddie. Look, I see Tom Rickoff has his hand up.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. So the funding for this is actually coming from our base budget. We're not asking for additional funding for this project. So the way that we're funding this is through a combination of salary savings and a reduction in some IT positions that we've held open for a period of time to help fund this.
So what I'm hearing is, was this already then approved in the last session for this amount of money? Is that what I'm hearing?
So, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, from a approved perspective, I'm not sure how to answer that. Again, we're funding this through our actual DOR base budget amount. So we're not asking for any additional funds to do this purchase. I'm not sure if that answers your question or.
Again, if your budget was approved last, you know, from the last session for this, you know, fiscal year, then then that answers my question then at that point.
Correct. This is all in the FY23 base that was approved, Mr. Cook.
Okay. A follow-up question. As it relates to the technology, I see storage and servers, but for SAN infrastructure, you also have, you know, SAN switches and, you know, the SAN fabric. I didn't see any of that discussed. My assumption is that you're also going to be refreshing a lot of the SAN infrastructure, like the switches and so forth, because that would be also out of support as well.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Mr. Cook. Yes, so switches, we actually have that as a normal rolling activity of addressing for end of life on switches. And we actually are in the process right now of replacing 4 switches associated with this activity as a separate, again, end of life activity, again, supported through the FY23 base budget that was approved.
And I have a quick question about the cloud roadmap. I did not see in the pitch what applications are running or needing this SAN infrastructure. Because I think about, you know, applications that are based on structured data or unstructured data. What's the underlying, I guess, core app that this particular project is supporting?
I assume that's probably for you, Tom, again, so please jump in.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and Mr. Cook. Yes, so this is actually our core infrastructure that supports our current system of record for the tax application. So it's TAS is currently, you know, what it's called. So not only does it support that, it supports many other smaller applications that are feeder systems to that main application. And, you know, all of our file storage systems associated with daily business activities. So it really is, you know, the core hardware associated with running DOR that we're refreshing. And, you know, the whole purpose of trying to, you know, buy that other 5 years is anticipation of the new system that we are currently pursuing that should be up and running in that 4 to 5 year range, which will then allow us to sunset the majority of this infrastructure associated with supporting the current activities.
So as it relates to the, we'll call it, when I think about SAN infrastructure, I think about, you know, applications like Oracle or SQL, you know, that are more, you know, structured kind of data. And moving into the cloud, you know, the cloud tends to be more object-based versus, you know, SAN, you know, based. So I was kind of curious about, is there, you know, what is that plan that you're seeing? I'd just love to give you kind of a roadmap as to how you are thinking about moving toward the cloud with these types of, you know, applications.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and Mr. Cook. Specifically, that's why we're engaging Gartner. We knew that there would be major challenges trying to move TAS, which is the tax system of record, to the cloud. It is an Oracle-based application on the back end. It's way beyond its years of, you know, time. It was put together back in 17 years ago, if I remember correctly. So technology-wise, it's a little bit behind the times. So the new system that we currently have RFP out on is going to be solely cloud-based. So that will get us the majority of our activities pushed to the cloud. And then with the current Gartner engagement, that will allow us to look at a lot of these other small feeder systems and either move them to the cloud or hopefully replace the majority of them with the new integrated tax system. So it will greatly reduce our footprint from an on-prem perspective.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's all I have. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Eddie. Next up, we'll go to Doug and then Ryan.
All right. So I'm going to follow Eddie's line of questions. And this is actually for you, Mr. Chairman. When was the cloud first policy introduced to the state?
2018.
Do you have any estimates in terms of the number of agencies or the number of apps that have been moved since then?
2,800.
Okay. So my question to the Department of Revenue is, it's been 5 years since that policy has been implemented. What has prohibited you from moving forward on this in that time? You know, it seems like a large majority of the state has been grappling and moving forward with these types of initiatives during that time period. Obviously, Department of Revenue is critical in everything that you do. Why are we addressing this request now?
Mr. Chairman and members of the board and Mr. Lang, very good question. And, you know, I can do nothing but be honest. We do have a cloud footprint right now. We have implemented some, I will call it new feeder system technology over the last several years in the cloud. I believe that, you know, the Gartner engagement is definitely bringing to light from a DOR perspective, you know, we are behind times, both from a staff and knowledge perspective to be able to effectively, you know, manage large footprints in the cloud. So we are starting to address that internally from a internal training perspective and gearing up for what this Gartner engagement is going to, you know, give us, which hopefully it will, you know, give us a roadmap that is doable from a staff allocation and resource perspective to allow us to get our footprint in a much better ratio than it is right now from a cloud perspective.
Has any analysis been done on what it would cost to move directly to the cloud? And the reason I ask is from my perspective, what the committee is being asked to approve right now is $4.6 million in sunk cost.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, Mr. Lang, we did do an engagement, and Bodhi, you'll probably have to hop in on this one, probably about a year to year and a half ago. And we did look at the cost associated with moving TAS to the cloud, and it was exorbitant. So that's why we're trying to hold off on moving that system of record to the cloud. And during that engagement, there was so many unknowns associated with moving it because of the age of the technology that there wasn't a definitive answer that it would be successful moving that application to the cloud, which is, you know, the major portion of our footprint. So if other people have some input on that, by all means, hop in.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Mr. Lang, we worked for months with a industry leading virtualization vendor to size this and to do what's called a lift and shift to the cloud, picking up, you know, encapsulating our applications and moving them to the cloud. That cost came in at $17 million for 5 years. So if we didn't do what we're asking today, we'd be here tomorrow asking for $17 million. So that's really where we ended up with that. Hope that helped answer your question.
No, it does. Do you have any information in terms of if it's the 4.6 plus whatever's coming through the upcoming analysis, where that total is going to lead us? And what I'm trying to get to, I think you can understand, is it 4.6 today and 17 anyway, 5 years from now, putting us over 20 versus figuring out how to get 17 now?
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'll just say that what we're asking for now is for 5 years support, purchase and support for that compute and storage platform. Is there additional cost that you have questions about, Mr. Lang?
So this is the perspective that I'm coming from. Right now, the committee is being tasked with deciding if, you know, to approve the 4.6 to move forward. I'm trying to understand the other option that we're weighing this against. And this is where I'm coming from. Cloud first isn't a new concept. Cloud first era has passed. The world right now is in cloud smart. Right. And so if the state moved forward, let's say 5 years ago, and this is going to be migrated over the next 5 years, we're talking about the Department of Revenue potentially being a decade behind in terms of cloud-based technologies and how you are leveraging them in your agency. And it's just 4.6 is a lot of money to be considering to move there.
Mr. Rickoff, you have your hand up.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Mr. Lang. So that goes back to that $17 million price tag. And, you know, Department of Administration, you know, we actually worked with them through that process to basically identify if we could ever move TAS to the cloud. And that pretty much, you know, indicated that from a cost perspective, it just isn't cost wise to move it. Associated with, you know, in addition to the cost, though, there's, you know, staffing resources issues associated with moving it to the cloud, especially our, you know, having our number one application that runs DOR in the cloud with the reduced number of staff that we have adequately trained to support it up there. Now, again, we're actively working on that internally in preparation for a more aggressive stance on moving to the cloud. So what the stopgap will be is the new integrated tax system that, you know, we're right in the middle of signing that contract right now, and that will be up and running in 5 years or less, which would be replacing the main system of record, which is TAS. So that would be the transition of going from on-prem and TAS to a, you know, solely hosted in the cloud application, that application infrastructure that we are in the process of, you know, contracting with.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
All right, Mr. Murray, you're muted.
I clicked the wrong button. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. I noticed in the project milestones that one of the successes and milestones is data migration and system validation. I don't see a data migration timeline on the larger project timeline. Is that included as part of the project, or is that going to be an outside step?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Mr. Murray, yes, that is part of the actual engagement with the proposed RFP and vendor that we're currently negotiating with. So we are not, you know, the contract has not been signed yet. It has to go through the approval processes and through ITAC still.
I'm not talking about the, just sorry to interrupt. I'm not talking about the new STARS project. I'm talking about this project specifically with purchasing the new hardware. There's a milestone in here listed migrating the data to the new hardware, but I don't see that as a time listed on the timeline. I'm just curious if that's part of the project engagement, if you're going to be using professional services to do that migration and when that's expected to be completed.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Mr. Murray, that is included in that third line down implement storage. It just isn't broken out in detail. That's those months you see there are where the data migration occurs.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Graves.
You're welcome.
Okay, Ms. Pereira. You're muted.
Sorry, thank you. I have some questions related to risk and something I maybe misheard in terms of staffing resources. It sounds like the budget's coming from vacancy or salary vacancy savings and IT positions. And I heard something related to some general lack of skill set for this project and reliance on Gartner. So my question is, how does that impact this project? And the my frame of reference is last year's budget. This is to Mr. Cook's question. Last year's budget included $3.5 million for 12 additional staff in addition to hardware. And I assume that that's part of where you're pulling this money from, but this project is 4.6, which is more than that, which would have included staff. So I'm just trying to understand where the agency is going in terms of staffing resources and knowledge.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and Ms. Pereira. You are correct. So some of this money is coming from that $3.5 million. The rest of the money is coming from just salary savings across the board for the whole department. That's where we basically funded it through. As for staffing up, I think, you know, everyone at the state is, you know, feeling the pinch on staffing. We're working vigorously to, you know, fill positions whenever they're vacant. It seems like there's the job market is really tough to attract good people at this point in time. I think everybody is, like I say, feeling that pain. So no excuse for not being staffed up, but you know, that is some of what's causing that. As for the going back to the training from a train the staff that we currently have, we are actually throwing probably about 3/4 of this year's training money at security and cloud-based training for architects, engineers, and our security staff. So we're taking a proactive role in trying to get staffed up and ready for, you know, what's to come in the future.
Okay, Eddie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I kind of want to tag on to Mr. Lang's questioning here. What happens if this committee were to vote no on this? What is, obviously there's the impact of, you know, the end of life or inavailability of support with some of this technology. But if this committee said we would actually encourage you to move forward with the cloud initiative, help me understand what disruption would that potentially provide to the business here if we were to direct you to move not to buying, you know, more technology for on-prem, but to really kind of force your guys' hand toward, you know, migrating to the cloud.
Mr. Chairman, member of the committee, and Mr. Cook, great question. So bottom line is some of these items are going end of life towards the beginning of next fiscal year. So that's the end of patching from a security perspective. So it would put us from a DOR perspective at a security risk overall. Not sure how we would address that, but again, this is the Department of Revenue system of record, and you know, that's where we would end up on an unsupported version of hardware and back end. Also knowing that, you know, if the alternative was to try and lift and shift this to the cloud, we're still looking at that immense, you know, $17 million price tag to do that. Hopefully it would work. Like I say, based on some of the early research, we didn't get a real warm and fuzzy feeling about doing it. So it would either require a, you know, real quick layout of quite a bit of money to do it, and then we'd have a stopgap time where we would be out of support from a current system of record DOR infrastructure.
I guess the question I would have, if as a committee we were to go back and say postpone our vote for 30 days until the next meeting for your team to come back and present to the committee what it would take to do this migration, if you start with this certain this bucket of money moving forward this fiscal year, I'd be almost interested in seeing what your team comes back as an analysis of what that would be.
Mr. Byers.
Well, I get where some of the discussion's heading, but it seems undoable at this point, whether we like it or not. The agency can't move forward with a $17 million project unless they get $17 million from the legislature.
Right.
It's not going to happen, you know. Well, may not. My guess is they didn't request it, and so it's not even in the budget consideration this year. But even if it were, it'll be many. Well, who knows when the legislature and the governor is going to go in a budget, but it doesn't look imminent. And so they've got these end of life computers. So even if they got $17 million on July 1, the process to take that project and implement it would be multiple years. They'd have to do another pitch, plan it, come back to us. And it sounds like a big lift. So it'd be, unfortunately, a couple year project at best. So whether we like it or not, I think it seems like we are where we are, and we've got to keep DOR running. Now, we could ask them, did the agency even request the $17 million? My sense is you did not.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, no, at that time when we did the research a year to 18 months ago, it was just, you know, cost prohibitive where we could not, you know, effectively go and ask for that. We were right in the middle of asking for, you know, the money for the system of record replacement. And that was really, at that point in time, the most important thing to the department was to, you know, legislatively get that money given to us to be able to support the replacement of this particular old aging system.
Well, Tom, $17 million is a large number. And maybe your agency director made the decision not to request it. I don't know what the deal was. But frankly, $17 million would be one of the lower project costs that I see going through this committee. So to bring a project of that size for an agency that collects all the revenue for the state government wouldn't be certainly unheard of at all for the legislature. So maybe this committee today, we should consider as one of our conditions, I guess, would be a recommendation that they make a budget request, I guess, next year. It's probably too late for this year. I don't know, Rebecca, is there any, would there be any possibility at this late date that suddenly spring in a new $17 million request?
Happens a lot more than you think.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, we could even do that. We could ask them to try to make a request to secure additional funding to at least begin the process to move to the cloud, because that's going to take a while to get done.
Yeah. So at the risk of not wanting to overly influence nor overly simplify, this is a fairly complex issue. Here, I'm going to kind of share some thoughts of kind of summarizing, you know, what I'm seeing here, which is we have a proposal in front of us at $4.6 million, which is definitely represents a path of least resistance, but is still a fair piece of work to get to a known, predictable, sustainable state for Department of Revenue. The alternative to move them to the cloud is a $17 million proposition. Will take longer than the current proposed project timeline. Does get them to the cloud. Clearly, that's a much, much larger expenditure overall. The thing that doesn't change is coming on the backside of this is the new tax system, which is currently under solicitation. So regardless of which of these decisions that are made, both are effectively considered, in my mind, sunk costs, because you're going to be migrating off of wherever the current TAS system resides over the next 5 years to a new location with a new provider under a new contract. So I don't mean to oversimplify, but I as much as I would love to see things have moved already to the cloud for where we are, my sense is that this is kind of more of an economics discussion as opposed to a principle. I'll turn it back to the committee. You guys are the voting members, and I do want to definitely allow the discussion to continue. So, Eddie.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if this current environment, let's just say, and I don't know all the details, but if it was already virtualized, right, you're going to have to migrate off the old technology onto the new technology already. So the question is, can, instead of going from on-prem to on-prem, if it's virtualized, can you go from on-prem to the cloud in a virtual environment? Again, that would be the question that I don't understand or know if that is even a feasibility, but there is going to be a migration that's for sure going to happen, either onto the new gear or it's going to be in the cloud. I guess the question from an economic perspective, is it better served to use the 4.6 toward, you know, what could be the future state, you know, that might take 5 years to get to, which means the Department of Revenue is going to have to make, you know, requests for funding year one, year two, year three, year four, whatever, to get there, right? So can you take this first 4.6 chunk as part of that overall 17 or maybe $20 million in the future?
So I'm going to throw that to Mr. Rickoff or Bodhi. If either of you could respond to, I think, kind of Eddie's question that was embedded in there, which was, if your current environment is virtualized, was that part of the consideration in the $17 million estimate? And then I think I saw Mr. Gonick ask a good question, which is, was that $17 million number ever reviewed or validated with Gartner? So take those separately.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, so just make sure we all understand that a lift and shift would be encapsulating that 20-year-old, close to 20-year-old monolithic tax system and enabling it to run in the cloud. I would ask if that's being cloud smart or not to do that. And knowing that that's going to be broken down and decommissioned within the next 5 years anyway. The migration on-prem to on-prem is very straightforward. It's essentially plugging in hardware and migrating the applications over. Tried and true methodology. We've been supporting that system for 5 years. Very satisfied with it. The cloud migration and the hosting, could we make it work in the next year to 2 years? Absolutely. But if we take 2 years to do that, it's only going to live another 3 years, and we've managed to spend $17 million instead of $5 million to end up in the same place in 5 years, which is breaking down either one of those options and decommissioning them. I hope that helps you understand the situation.
Thanks, a little better. Could you answer one specific point?
Yes, sir.
Is the current TAS system, is it currently running on virtualized technology?
Yes, we're 100% virtual.
Okay. All right, so then the next question was whether there was any review by Gartner of that $17 million cloud lift, or if they did their own analysis of a cloud possibility.
Bodhi, do you want me to answer that question?
Go ahead, Mehrdad.
Yeah, absolutely. Mr. Chairman, this is Mehrdad for research with Gartner Consulting. We have not independently validated the $17 million. However, we could say for certainty that migrating from on-prem to cloud, a simple lift and shift, will be very first of all, it would exhaust a lot of the Department of Revenue resources, both in terms of people resources as well as financial resources. While at the same time, there's going to be a transformation to STARS. I think these two projects then could potentially come into conflict with each other and basically waste a lot of time and valuable time and resources that the department has. In our opinion, it is best to simply support the current TAS system on-prem until the appropriate STAR solution is finalized and the contract is signed, and then do an orderly migration from on-prem to STARS. Mind you that both systems will have to run concurrently for 5 years, regardless of which way you do it. Because simply you cannot turn off your system of record and rely on something that is brand new and not well tested. Even if you transition from on-prem to cloud using a lift and shift today, you still will have to continue running the on-prem environment for a significant time period until you are certain that the performance of the system of records in the cloud can be verified and tested. So that doesn't mean that as soon as you migrate, you can turn off on-prem and you can decommission all the environment. So for that reason, we believe that you will have to potentially invest in this $4 million so that you could ensure that any transition is orderly.
Thank you, Mehrdad. Mr. Lang.
I want to validate Lev's specific question. Can anyone at Department of Revenue validate, is $17 million an estimate? Is that something that you all have a quote on? It seems like a very high number. I want to make sure with the decision points, obviously that's critical to what we're putting on in the 4.6. Is that a validated quote that you...
I can take that unless Bob Ryan, do you want to take that? Or Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that was a valid quote, and we have a fairly large platform. We have over 700 virtual machines that we host, so to for a cloud hosted environment, a little over $3 million a year is not at all unusual price range for something like a system our size. Hope that helps clarify that.
It does. And this is more probably obviously with analysis being part of the presentation that goes with this. Are there any conditions being considered tied to the Department of Revenue coming back with their full cloud strategy? Whether you look at this as a problem of urgency or prioritization, it seems like we know what pieces should have went in what order. And if we would have potentially attacked some of these components, it would have mitigated what we're making a decision point on right now. So moving forward, that being said, whether the priority be making the budget ask or hopping up what applications are going to the cloud when, I do think it's important that at some point this committee gets a view into what is the strategy and the plan moving forward. To do this as efficiently and effectively as possible.
All right, thank you, Mr. Lang. Perhaps we could move ahead and show the conditions that are currently proposed. So, Mr. Lang, to your point, item three may address what you're looking for, but we certainly can have discussion among the committee members if there's a desire to modify the conditions.
That's exactly what I was looking for. I mean, as long as the words assessment includes their actual strategy moving forward.
So question back, I'll say to the revenue team, can you answer that question in terms of like the report that you've got, the information from Gartner, does it include, but you know, will you have as part of that, how that fits into your organization's, you know, we'll say IT strategy and cloud strategy moving forward?
Sorry, Tom, do you want to take that? Or would you like me to take that?
Yeah, please, Bodie.
Yeah, we'd be happy to come back to the ITAC committee, and you know, we just need some time to work with Gartner on what that, you know, our plan is there moving forward, which we're in. We've been doing our due diligence with them now, as far as what would be practical to take to the cloud, in you know, in the next few fiscal years. And we fully expect, and we'll be happy to come back to the ITAC committee and share that plan.
Okay. So with that in mind, I'm going to take a step backwards because we're staring at conditions. Need to understand from the committee members, are you at a place where anyone's ready to make a motion with regard to the project? Mr. Byers.
Yeah, I'll move that we approve the project with conditions. And part of my thinking is, if I understood what Murhad said, is regardless if we went to the cloud tomorrow, this system still needs to run for multiple years. And if that's the case, since it's the end of life, we've got to pay the money to keep this running, no matter what we do when the cloud comes in. So anyway, I'll move that we adopt, we approve the project with the conditions listed.
Okay, do we have a second?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a comment.
Yeah.
Back to Mr. Byers, kind of comment as it relates to encouraging Department of Revenue to actually go ahead and float out these numbers with the legislature for, you know, getting that 17 million or whatever that might be, which we have a good number yet. But is that something this committee could actually add as a condition to encourage them to actually go ahead and move forward in seeking these larger dollars for the future kind of roadmap as it relates to, you know, moving this to the cloud?
Maybe a clarifying question I'll ask that hopefully might answer what you're asking, Eddie.
Okay.
And I want to be cautious here. So Mr. Ryan, please do jump in if I cross a procurement line. But I think at a high level strategically, the STARS system, anything that would be getting proposed as part of the solicitation, is a full replacement for all the functionality, or at least the vast majority of functionality, that is in the current TAS system that would be going into this hardware-based environment as proposed. So at the end of that, it would, you know, all of those functions would be in the new cloud-based environment. I think there was a note that there are some, I think they termed them feeder systems, might need individual assessment and potentially a separate roadmap, but the intent is, as I understand it, is that the new STARS solution is fully cloud-based and would complete that in terms of everything we're talking about running on this hardware today, that will be in the cloud at the end of that project. So is that a correct statement, Tom and Bodie?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, that is 100% correct statement.
Okay, does that help, Eddie?
Yep, that helps.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I could add, and this might help Mr. Cook, the project has been budgeted in the state budget in phases, but unlike some projects where the money essentially gets scored but has to be appropriated, in this case, it's showing up in the baseline. So yep. last year's budget assumed that the totality of the project that was just described is funded.
And Rebecca, I'm sorry, was your comment specific to STARS or?
Oh, STARS, yeah.
Okay.
In terms of the agency coming back to, well, it was my understanding is that the everyone wants it, we all want it in the cloud, and that's my understanding what STARS would be.
Yep.
It is also, and then the question is asking for funding. And in this case, for STARS, because it's such a large project, last year the legislature did score in the budget. So you will see in the baseline, unlike some projects, if you guys are all familiar with, where you have to keep asking every phase of the project, in this case, it is budgeted for across several years.
Thank you, Rebecca. You'll notice there's some conversation in the chat, regarding a 10-year life cycle analysis. We do have a 5-year life cycle analysis that's, I'll say, typical for what goes into these things. It is at the discretion of the committee to ask for something different, I believe. Is there any discussion around tuning up that condition and how that might be worded? Oh, looks like Mr. Gonick had to punch out, or we lost him. Let's see, make a suggestion and then bow out.
he probably had the right language and he just hit the wrong button.
Oh no, it looks like he switched over. Oh, there he is, he's back.
Okay.
Hey, love. You might need to unmute. Unless you're not in an environment where you can talk.
Okay, I finally found the unmute button on my phone.
Way to go.
If I understood our colleague from Gartner, there is at least another 5 years of running parallel infrastructure. And I'm not sure I understood that the total cost of the life cycle included the estimate for what that would look like in the out years, which might well require us to know in advance a likely investment of similar proportion or scale, I don't really know, whilst we are running in parallel. And it just strikes me that given the nature of the conversation this afternoon, more information is better than essentially less information at this point.
So Lev, I'm gonna hazard to ask a question and Tom may be ready to answer it. When we looked at the life cycle costs, and maybe we can jump back to the financial slide, we see the 4.6, there was another 900,000 of, operational costs. So that's roughly, say, 5.5 over 5 years. Is that the expected total investment to ride the current TAS solution through its through the transition to the new STARS solution? Or are there potentially additional investments that will be required separate from the STARS project specific to the continuation of TAS that are unaccounted for here? And Lev, did I get that right?
That is correct, JR. Okay. I would not have suggested it had I not heard our colleague from Gartner frame the risk of not proceeding in the way that I'd understood actually the 5 years was going to get us to the end point. Then I heard him say, no, you have to run parallel for 5 more years. So somewhere in here, there's a Gantt chart that shows when the cut over to the cloud STARS is going to happen. And then a 5-year run rate thereafter to run in parallel. And I guess, again.
And that's a great Lev. Is that a correct statement, Mardad? Are we doing this 5-year investment in writing in this new infrastructure to then add another 5 years running parallel to the new STARS implementation, or is the expectation and intent and plan that by the end of this 5-year life cycle, by 2027, assuming the STARS project goes to plan, that the state is fully cut over onto STARS and we're not refreshing or needing to extend this investment?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, it is a hard question to answer, but I'll do my best. Usually once the transition itself, meaning sourcing and onboarding the new system and then transitioning records to that system, by itself may take a few years. From the go live date of that, at that point, you may still need to maintain your old system of records for a number of years based on your record retention requirements of the state. So whether it is 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, it depends on some of the implications that we haven't studied yet. But really, the clock starts from the go live date of the new system so that you have a fallback system in place for a number of years until you're absolutely certain that everything works. So it is possible to go beyond 5 years if that is a possibility.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. I will open it up to Department of Revenue to see if they have anything else they'd like to add to that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. So the STARS contract is actually a 6-year term. So the last year of it, of course, is feeding, knocking off the rough edges, you know, making sure everything is working correctly from an application support perspective. So the way that these tax system of records are actually implemented is very common in that space, is they will actually move tax types over to the new system in groups. So it's typically not a big bang go live. So not to say that's not how this will get approached once we actually bring the vendor on board and go through design discovery phase, planning phase with them to make sure that we're on the same page as the vendor and it's going to work for our organization and our taxpayer community. So I wanna you know, make sure that everybody knows that that particular engagement is a 6-year engagement. And then the other piece of it is, will there be any other costs associated with maintaining TAS? So from an infrastructure perspective, this will buy us, you know, 5 years of TAS running on the current infrastructure. Will there be, let's say, switches end of life throughout that, you know, 5-year cycle? I probably could guarantee you that, you know, just from a turn perspective. So that's something we will have to maintain and keep up. The other thing is, we're just talking infrastructure here. We're not talking the actual, you know, Oracle piece of this. So, you know, there's normal licensing associated with that. There's normal EULAs associated with operating Oracle. There's normal upgrades that you have to do associated with, you know, Oracle that, you know, you can't just get around. So to say that there won't be any other costs associated with running the tax system for the next 5 years other than this, I just want to be honest with that. It takes more than just this to run it. That would hold true if it was in the cloud or on-prem, though. So kind of have to...
I think some of the question is also, what is the likelihood that after this 5-year investment, if there's a need to maintain, and maybe I'll ask more directly, is there an expectation that, and I think Murdad brought up the point around, you know, system of record retention, is there going to be a need to keep elements of TAS, even if it's just say, oh, we're going to take the Oracle database, that's got to be up and going in a place that we can reference it as needed for some period of time, even after STARS has cut over live? Is that a fact that you've already considered and addressed, and how does that factor into this discussion?
Okay, so Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, great question also. So I can't tell you definitively because, you know, these end of life dates for infrastructure like this from a support perspective are kind of a moving target. So we're buying into 5 years. So that's it will be supported, no doubt about it, for 5 years. I'm sure everybody on the line is familiar with extended support. So I would be totally surprised if at the end of that five-year engagement, if we needed TAS up and running for another year, that there would not be extended support offered. Can't tell you for sure, but that's just, you know, normal industry practice where they do allow you to buy some extended support for reasons just like this.
Okay, thank you. All right, now we've had a robust discussion on this. I'm going to ask the question back to the committee. Again, we have a motion out for Mr. Byers. Do we have a? I'll ask if we have a second. If we don't have a second, that tells me the committee's not comfortable moving forward yet, and we can move to a different discussion about next steps. So, do we have a second?
I'll second it only because I do agree. You have to tech refresh. I mean, that's, you know, the Diora has to get rid of the old gear. I may not overly thrilled about how we got here, but I'll second the motion.
Okay. Yeah. Any further discussion before we move to a vote? Okay. I will call the question. Mr. Byers has moved that this project be approved with the three conditions as noted here. Mr. Cook has seconded that. That motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Opposed.
Any abstentions? Okay, so I think if I heard that, we had Mr. Byers, Mr. Cook voted in favor. I definitely caught Mr. Lang and Mr. Onik as opposed. Jagi, I did not catch your vote.
I approve.
Okay. That is a 3-2. And in that case, that constitutes a majority and the motion carries. I want to thank the committee. It was a very good discussion. I do appreciate the various perspectives and you know, I will. I think I'm happy to have a quick discussion. Chuck, what did you want to say?
Mr. Chairman, we actually have. I want to make sure I got the vote right. So if you don't mind, I'm going to do a quick roll call on this one. So, Mr. Byers?
Yes, aye.
Mr. Murray?
Aye.
Mr. Krishna Murphy?
Aye.
Mr. Lang?
Here.
No, you mean you were going to say no, Doug.
Oh, this is yes or no.
Thank you. Mr. Gonick?
No.
Any committee member I missed?
Mr. Cook is voting no. Or by actually voting yes.
Mr. Cook is voting yes. Sorry about that, Mr. Cook.
So that's a 4-2 then.
4-2. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I got the right.
Yeah. No, thanks for the point of order. Okay, committee. You have the commitment from revenue coming back talking about the assessment. Any other instructions or information you would like to see from them? Okay, I will bring this portion of our agenda to a close. And we will step forward. Next item on our agenda is an informational update on Business One Stop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm also joined here today by members of the Department of Administration. The team will introduce themselves, then provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of the Business One Stop project, page number AS21008.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Bob, thank you for the introduction. Thank you all for the opportunity to provide an informational update. I'm Sabrina Canella, the program manager for Business One Stop, and I'll be leading the presentation today. As a general refresh, Business One Stop is a fully online portal designed to offer people and businesses in Arizona the ability to plan, start, and run businesses. At this time, this includes the starting and maintenance of an LLC, gaining trade names and trademarks, accessing needed tax licenses. Unique to Business One Stop, we also offer embedded payment options, real-time application updates, and automated approvals in many circumstances. I want to provide a little bit of an update on the progress that we've made since our last update. On November of last year, we oversaw the media release for Business One Stop, which included radio and business journal advertisements, as well as several small committee presentations by members of the team here at ADOA, as well as members from the Arizona Commerce Association. The program also oversaw two major production releases. In December, we received LLC features that allow for the ability to secure name reservations, access certificates of good standing. We also provided automated trade name approvals. Additionally, earlier this month, we provided LLC maintenance features and the ability to terminate an LLC. The program has also collaborated with many of our partner agencies to complete phase two planning. As a final note here, I did want to make note to the progress on phase one items. We did anticipate that by March 6th, we would have 4 out of the 8 remaining phase one features released. This feature release was cut short, so we had 2 of those 8. We do have items that are remaining in progress. At this time, the project is behind schedule, and as such, we're reporting the program to be in red. Next. I'd like to step back for a moment to provide a high-level view of the success we've achieved through phase one, as well as a look at some of that phase two planning that's developed with our agency partners. On the left here, we see a collection of phase one items already delivered to users, as well as a small set of features that are in the final development step that's there at the bottom. What's offered today in Business One Stop includes a full suite of planning options, fee estimation, something that's never been offered on a cross-agency platform, name lookups, as well as some small business checklist that we've partnered with ACA to deliver. Additionally, we provide LLC registration. This includes the ability to reserve a name up front, the LLC PLLC application, payments, real-time updates, the ability to access a certificate of good standing. We also offer several maintenance features for that LLC. We can also provide trade names and trademark registration through Business One Stop, carrying through that similar model of the embedded payments and real-time status updates. Finally, we provide users with the ability to access that tax application. Here, we're providing that TPT and withholding, as well as, again, the real-time updates. Remaining in phase one, we still have development items. Many of these are in their final testing phase and being prepared for release planning. Some of these include the ability to resubmit articles of organization, statements of change, and amendments. On the right here, I've listed out some of the phase two items that are planned features. In partnership with the Secretary of State's office, Business One Stop plans to deliver a suite of partnership related services. This will include the ability to register a suite of domestic partnerships. We hope to offer these early on, coming before the end of this fiscal year. Additionally, we also hope to provide foreign partnerships. This will be later in our roadmap. We'd also like the ability to provide a full suite of maintenance options for both trade names and trademarks so that we can maintain the life cycle of those products within Business One Stop. Additionally, in partnership with the Arizona Corporation Commission, Business One Stop plans to offer enhanced user functionality for LLC owners. This will include statutory agent inline acceptance, something that we've noted is a problem area for both Business One Stop, also ACC. We want to simplify that process. We also want to provide access for all LLCs within Business One Stop. This will really open up Business One Stop to the maintenance of any LLC within Arizona. This is a change in scope from what was initially planned for phase two in Business One Stop. Previously, this committee heard a high-level roadmap that projected the inclusion of corporations within Business One Stop during phase two. in support of ACC's upgrade of major components within their internal technology program. The ACC and Business One staff have came to a realization that the incorporation of these corporate entities within Business One staff is no longer feasible. There is simply too high of a risk. During this time, the ACC is researching and converting their internal system. ACC and Business One Stop agree that there is responsibility to maintain existing LLC functionality. Our partnership will continue to lay there. Additionally, in partnership with the Department of Revenue, Business One Stop plans to enhance user functionality for all Business One Stop users by providing a single sign-on connection between Business One Stop and AZ Taxes. Again, this is a change in scope from what was initially planned. Previously, this committee heard a high-level roadmap that projected the inclusion of several features that would help business owners prepare their tax filings as well as access critical documents. In order to support DOR's upgrade on several levels, we have also partnered to reduce that scope. The DOR and Business One Stop understand that development and implementation of the aforementioned features is no longer possible. As such, Department of Revenue and Business One Stop will maintain partnership in order to support existing functionality, as well as build out that single sign-on feature. We do believe that providing single sign-on feature will provide a gateway for easier access to a lot of those same features we initially planned to embed within Business One Stop. I do want to mention here that simply because we are changing scope for phase two does not eliminate these features from our roadmap. It pushes them forward as opposed to executing on them within the next year. Finally, within phase two, Business One Stop hopes to add additional state level partners as well as city and county partners. So not only will we be expanding our feature opportunities with our existing partners, but we'll be expanding our base of partners as well. Next. So I want to take you through some risks that we've identified on our schedule as well as the scope. On schedule here, ADOA and ADA anticipate that the remaining phase one features will be ready for delivery by the end of March. I do have this in red and I have our project reporting as red. We have hit several moments where we've had difficulty resolving bugs, difficulty in maintaining clear partnership resolution there. So I am projecting this one to be closed out by the end of March. At this time, we do have a lot of those features, six of the eight remaining features that are nearing that end goal. We are no longer in a development phase for most of these items. Five out of those remaining are actually in a place of final testing and being prepared for that final release. I've got about two more weeks left in this month. So I will say we are tracking well for the end of March. However, end of March is behind schedule. Also want to note here on schedule, we do have partnership agreement on the phase two roadmaps. Again, that is what I just covered there. It does include a change of scope. Finally, under the risks that I have here, I wanted to identify that we are being transparent in our change of scope for both the ACC and Department of Revenue. As I've noted before, both of these agencies have major changes happening within their internal support platforms. As a result, we understand that from an agency perspective, as well as maintenance of Business One Stop, there is an extremely high risk to potential errors and user side functionality problems. As such, in collaboration with our partners, we want to maintain stability for both their internal components as well as Business One Stop. We don't feel like the continued build out of major components within these agencies' purviews is reasonable at this time. Next. I do want to highlight here, we are in FY23 Q3. At this time, the program is continuing to support the existing functionality. We are continuing to plan and build out for phase two. As I've discussed, we have executed a lot of that planning already, and we are really looking forward to continued development in that phase two roadmap. If we go to the next slide. At this time, the program is planning to bring another update to ITAC in Q4. The program also plans to attend the JLBC April session in order to request additional funds in support of that phase two development. Next slide for the questions.
All right, thanks, Sabrina. Any questions from the committee on this informational update? Mr. Cook.
Thank you. Going back to the risk, can you what's kind of the overall impact? I mean, is the impact of the risk, you know, considered critical, or, you know, somewhere in the middle? I'd love to get a feel from you about the risk.
Yeah, Mr. Cook, I do want to address this head on. With both of our agencies, DOR and ACC, we have high level risk here, as both of these agencies are undergoing a major change to their internal operating platforms. These are the same platforms that support existing business one-stop functionality and in general use the same resources. To the extent that DOR has already covered the resource limitations that they might have and a lot of the major programs that they're undergoing in the next several months, I don't want to repeat that. ACC is similarly going through a lot of major changes in the next several years. We feel like that adding major components for Business One Stop would not only aggravate that resource limitation, but it would also complicate the shift of that technology. Additionally, Business One Stop doesn't want to be in the business of creating technology that lasts for a couple of months. We want to build the technology that's really going to drive us into the future, and we feel like it's not best suited to do that now.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Sabrina. That concludes our the informational update. There were two other written updates provided to the committee that we will not be going through at this time. And that concludes our agenda for today. So next meeting is scheduled for April 19th. Committee members, take a rest. You worked hard today. Thank you for that. Honestly, I do appreciate, again, everyone's engagement. That's what this forum is about. And I appreciate the passion that folks bring forward in seeking to fulfill your roles in helping the governance processes here at the state to move forward. So, and do the best we can with the tax dollars that are being stewarded. So thank you very much, and we'll see you in April.
Bye.
Okay, staff, let's go ahead and stop the recording.